Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. I just interrupted your broadcast that you're listening to from our show that we had last Friday for today's Friday episode. It's a blessed time to be in front of you once more again and to talk to you about the goodness of God's work in your relationships. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying to rechange our format and get things changed to a different way. And I think we're getting there. I think finally we're getting where I like what's happening. I like what we're putting together. We changed some formats and stuff for the very reason that, you know, every time we've been putting the shows together, we've had a certain way that we broadcast, a certain way that we put things out there, a certain way that we, it was kind of our standard on how we wrote the show and how we performed the show and everything. But I think nowadays, I think we need to go a little bit more into the same subjects, the same topics, but add a little bit more information in there, some news from the headlines today, some articles that we find, make it more of a talk show than just a preaching show. Because I think a lot of us will tune in when it's more a talk show than a preaching show. Amen? Amen. Well, today's day is talking about relationships. Now, I want to remind you, one of the things that we do is that we constantly play a little bit of sound effects for you and constantly make sure that you know the stuff that's happening out there. When we say something, we're talking about today's word of the day. Today's word of the day is going to be relationships. So every time you hear relationships, you're going to hear this play. Again, anytime you hear the words that we're talking about, something that we want you to remember, not necessarily just the word of the day, but the subject of the day is relationships. And every time there's a point in the subject that we want you to remember, you're going to hear this bell. So, for those that are out there and that are listening for the first time, this is a new thing that we're doing. For those that have been listening for a while, you know that I do some things and I try and bring out the truth and try to bring out the heart on everybody that's listening. So, with that said, I want y'all to know that God is doing some awesome things today in relationships. I mentioned yesterday on our missions day. Yesterday was our missions day. And when we do our missions day, we basically talk about different things that's happening out there. We had David Hope come on, and he talked about the heart of the native missionary or the native pastor and how the doors opened up, and the doors opened up big time when he went there in Africa and stuff. And it's amazing that we can get that much type of opening depending on in the areas that you go into. Well, later on in the show, I'm gonna give you a few more articles on some of the missions and stuff that are out there that are going through separate things and that are going through things that we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them and need to be able to give them different types of support and stuff. And just to go not off the subject, but to go accordingly with the subject that we have, I want to talk a little bit about the progression of our relationships. If y'all turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 25:25. If you look at Proverbs 25:25, you're going to see something. You're going to see something that I think is important. I think that we need to all understand and all need to hear what's happening in our relationships. I think I asked a question just the last few days. I asked this question, and that question was this: do you see your relationship progressing? And I told you throughout the day, throughout the week, I've been teasing you on this. And I've been mentioning different things. And if you heard the broadcast, you would remember that I said that we're going to cover the non-progressing relationship today. That today's show was going to be about non-progressive relationships or progressive relationships. That we were going to give you some ideas, some things that would measure with that. And what we're going to do is we're going to let you know exactly how we're getting in there and getting this stuff out there to you. So I hope you're tuning in. Hope you're tuning in to what we're doing right now. Proverbs 25:25 reads. Yes, Proverbs 25:25 reads. Okay, it is not Proverbs 25:25. It's Proverbs 24. Okay, I am in the wrong scriptures here. There's not Proverbs 25:25. But I will find that scripture for you. And but basically, it says in the Word of God that he that without rule of his own body or without rule of his own spirit is like a city without walls and without protection. And I will find that scripture for you because I know I highlighted it in my Bible because I preached about it just a few nights ago. So anyway, that's what it says in the Word of God. That if you are not in control of your own spirit, you are like a man that you are like a man or like a city without a wall and without protection. Now give me a second. I'm going to find this. Thank God it's Friday, amen. We're on that day. Going to have some beautiful plans for this weekend, are you? What you're going to be doing out there. We are on Chatango. If you go to Chatango, you go to that website on your browser at the bottom of your of the player that you're listening to right now. You can chat with me live, and I actually have the chat window open right now. So if you go to that, I got it open right here. So if you're on the air and you want to chat with me, you can chat with me right now. You can just go in and give me information, anything you're thinking about, anything you want to talk about. We'll be able to go over it right then. Okay, I can't find the scripture, but I promise you it is there. It's in my notes at the house, I think. But oh well. We're going to go forward. Just trust me, it's in Proverbs. And let me check Psalms to make sure. But I believe it was in Proverbs. Let me check Psalms. But God is good. Nope, not in Psalms. Anyway, I want to ask you this, my friends. Throughout your entire course of your relationships, have you ever had to pray so hard that it even hurt? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Have you ever had to pray so hard that it even hurt? That you felt the hurt in your body, that you ached? And I ask this question a lot. And the reason I ask that is because our life is built up of relationships. And when we let one of them affect our way we work, affect our way that we do things, it's going to hurt us. It's going to keep us from going forward. So today I'm going to give you some ideas of how you can measure. Now get this, how you can measure relationships, how you can measure how far your relationship's gone. Now, I want y'all to all understand that each person's measurement is going to be different than the next. Because where you're going to find the struggle at is what you tend to not want to let go. Now hear me. What you find the struggle with is what you tend not to want to let go. So if you have a tendency to hold on to relationships that tend to affect certain areas of your life, and you don't want to let that go, that's what's going to be affected. Now let's explain. If you are a person that likes to control, then your controlment is going to be exposed and tested. Then whatever you grasp will be tested. So, I want you to realize that God is good, that God has things for you out there besides the hurt that you're going through. Now, I tell you the truth. I think I counsel more people, or I talk to more people and counsel them on relationships than anything. I mean, a lot of people can always replace a job. I always say this. A lot of people can always replace a car, replace a house. They can always replace all these things. But one thing they tend not to want to replace, and it's hard to replace someone. Have you ever loved someone so much that you're not with them anymore and you think of them all the time? It's hard to replace people sometimes. And then you don't want to have to. So you want to try and fix what you got. God put you together with someone. Maybe you're dating them. Maybe you're married to them. Who knows? Whatever your situation is, you're put together with them, and you know what? God is doing good things. God wants you to have a relationship that's going to grow, that's going to progress. He wants to see you work as a couple. I know that a lot of people may not agree with this, but he wants to see you work as a couple and try and help win souls to God. So if you can work as a couple, then God's going to do something with you. If you can work together, then God is going to do something with you. I don't think he's going to put you with someone that you can't work with, that you can't be a part of. You have to have a vision. You have to have a vision when you come together. You have to have a vision when you get married. You have to have a vision when you start dating and stuff. So that's why a lot of people have different questions and everything. But let me go ahead and give you our first commercial break, and we'll be back with you in just a minute. Give me a second. Let me load this up. We're still playing with all our sounds. God is doing some great things in our ministry. Let me give you our address. It is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. And our web address is revministries.com, revmedianetwork.com. You can visit either of those sites and go to either of our places. You can email me at therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. Or david@revministries.com. Either way, I'll get the email from you. But what we're talking about today is we're talking about relationships. Many of us may sit in a relationship wondering if it's going to get better. Many of us wonder, what could we measure? What could we measure in our relationships? Well, funny thing was, when I was looking up this stuff and trying to figure out some information for most of the stuff, I know that I put together some materials for you today, but I want to read to you something that I found. I just went to the most quickest Christian dating site to see what kind of advice they give and stuff. And this is an interesting thing that they told people. And the thing that they told everyone was this. Now let me find it real quick. Here it goes. Okay. This was found on, I'll give you the website so you can read the article. It was found on christian-datingservice-plus.com. Anyway, this is an article that I read, and I'm not going to read you the whole article, but just the highlights of it. It says, the best tip we could give Christian singles seeking a dating relationship is to learn how to fight. That may sound like wacky dating advice unless you know that the top reason for both dating and married couples breaking up is a lack of communication in the area of conflict and resolutions. Conflict resolutions. Now think about it. One of the reasons I think that a lot of relationships don't succeed, and I think that a lot of relationships go down in the pit and just go. You ever seen a couple that has been so happy and loving, and then one time they just come back and they just can't deal with each other? They can't work with each other. They can't live with each other. They can't stand each other. Have you ever seen that kind of thing out there? Well, I'm telling you, one thing I learned is this, and this is in marriage. I've been married for over 14 years now, and this is observing, and this is just getting some divine advice from what I'm watching and what I'm seeing out there. And that is this. There has to be a level of respect in the argument. And that's basically what they're telling you in this article, if you just boil it all down to that and just highlight the main point. And that is this, that there has to be a respect between you and your spouse. Now, think about it for a sec. There has to be a respect level. Now, I want you to go to your most mild and simple argument. I want you to go all the way to your most extreme and volatile and the screaming and the yelling and everything else type of argument. Now, the reason I want you to look at those is because I want you to be true to yourself. I want you to be honest to yourself in this. Is there a level of respect when you argue? Or do you start attacking one another verbally? Because when you attack one another verbally, and how do you do that? Well, you instantly start to insult the other person. Or it may not even be instantly. It can be just all of a sudden. if you do do that, then the respect level in your relationship is not progression. And we need that respect level to progress. We need that respect level to grow. The one thing that you need to keep sacred in your home to keep your marriage intact is respect for one another. Respect will keep you from having an affair. Respect will keep you from hating. Respect will give you a chance to resolve arguments, and respect will keep each other from killing each other, from yelling at each other, from hurting one another. And if you have children, from the children hearing you go crazy. So I'm talking about Christian relationships. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about progression. I'm talking about the very scripture that we talked about. He that has no rule over his spirit is like a city without walls and with no protection. Controlling yourself. Controlling how you argue. Hey, we're going to argue. I tell you that, my friends. We are going to argue. There's not a question about it. There's going to be bills that need to be paid. There's going to be things that need to be done. And we're going to argue. There's going to be decisions that have to be made. And not everybody's going to like the decision that you make as a husband, as a wife. But the thing is, you don't just deal with it. You work it out. You talk it out. You try to make sure that you, yourself, has done everything that they could. That has done everything that you're supposed to. You try and make sure that you are not the one causing the argument. Because there's instigators. Now I'm going to tell you the truth. There are instigators out there. And if you instigate just to argue, you have problems. You have problems if you like to argue all the time. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to argue all the time? God knows that you are better than that. I'm going to read you another article that I found that I thought that was very interesting, and I want to tie into what we're talking about. And I want you to hear this. I want you to see this. In this article, it talks about, there's two articles actually. In this first article, it talks about babies learning a bilingual language. And I'm sure that you can understand that that's an awesome thing for kids to learn. And I am looking for it, and I don't see it. Maybe it fell out of my favorites. It's been a... Here it comes. All right. In the Associated Press from Washington, in the Associated Press, they had an article that I read over in Yahoo, and it talked about unraveling how children become bilingual so easily. And I just want to just give you a quick glimpse of this. We're going to jump to the other article as well. But the best time to learn a foreign language between the birth and age 7, that's what it's talking about. Between birth and age 7 is the best time for you to learn a foreign language. New research has showed how children's brains can become bilingual so easily, finding that scientists hope eventually could help the rest of us learn a new language a bit easier. And let me read this, and I'm going to talk about this. We think the magic that kids apply to this learning situation, some of the principles can be imported to learning programs for adults. Now, they're very interested in how kids between the ages of being born, birth age, all the way to age 7 can learn the language. Now, these scientists continue to study and try and see what's the reason why they get it. And I think it's because it's the impressions. And I think it's the impressions that it says you're building a brain architecture that's a perfect fit at your age. When you're growing up, everything you get to build with, everything you get to have, everything you get to learn in language and in speaking and everything, that comes at your from between that age of birth. Every sound you hear, every emotion you hear, that anything of happiness and anger, all this stuff you hear. You ever hear babies cry when you hear people arguing? You ever hear babies cry when the dog's growling and barking? Well, here's an article on that as well. I'm going somewhere with this, so you need to just stay with me here. So we know that you can get bilingual or learn a second language, or you learn your languages between the age group all the way to 7 years old. Now, here's another story that dogs may be man's best friend, but babies may also readily understand Fido. This is from Life Science. It's on Yahoo. And what it's talking about is it's lifescience.com that I got this article for. And it says a new study found that six-month-olds can match the sounds of an angry snarl or a friendly yap with the photos of dogs showing the corresponding body language. The results published in the July issue of the Journal of Development of Psychology suggest that the babies can decipher emotions even before they learn how to talk. Emotions is one of the basic things picked up on the social world, said lead researcher Ross Flom, a psychology professor at Brigham Young University in Utah. Barking dogs. The study involved 128 infants with 32 of them, 32 in each group. Had little or no exposure to dogs. The babies first looked at two images of the same fluffy canine, one showing the dog in an aggressive posture and facial expression, while the other showed the dog in a friendly stance. The researchers wanted to figure out whether infants had a preference for one impression over the other. And they didn't. Then the researcher played a two-second sound clip of either a friendly or threatening dog bark while the child viewed the image, and the next child, the other sound clip aggressively was played. And it says the researchers videotaped the young patients, and as they looked at one or both of the dog images, the six-month-old babies spent most of their time staring at matching the photographs, so a mean bark would garner a stare at the dog with the vicious facial expressions. Either way, babies are smart. They pick up what they hear around you. And I want to tell you, for those that have kids or around kids, and if you're dating and you're a single parent and you're dating and you're trying to resolve things, remember that the kids, the babies, the infants, all the way up to seven, I would say even up to your teenagers, can hear and feel when there's tension in the room. People out there need to realize that we affect more than one another in the things that we do. People need to realize that we have allowed ourselves to be seen by not only the people we are at work with, the people that we're at church with, but the people that are in our own homes. So if babies can pick up dogs barking and snarling and the good and the bad dogs, and they can differentiate in their own expressions, so can we. So can we. Know that they will pick up any type of animosity at the home. And you don't want to affect them like that. You don't want to affect them like that. You want them to be blessed and feel the goodness of God. But what I'm trying to tell you this, everything out there is affected how you deal with your wife at home and your husband at home. Your level of respect is only going to grow as much as you respect your wife and respect your husband. You will never be taken seriously anywhere else if you don't take things seriously at home. Want to go to a quick commercial about our ministry, and we will be right back.
I want to take this time just to thank all the hosts that have sent in their shows and have been at the studio, or at the auxiliary studio, trying to get everything going and trying to get their programs on the air. This is a huge effort to try and get a station like this put together within the next month or so. The next few weeks, we'll be putting the actual shows through the main station at the church that we have, the property that we have, and we're going to be broadcasting this live 24/7 like we're doing now, but we're going to have more programming at that time. I have churches that have agreed to sign up and to send their MP3s and their CDs to us, and we can get this thing going. Now, if you're interested and you like the broadcast, let me tell you this for just 1 minute. We have people from Russia, Netherlands, China, Belgium, Spain, Africa, all listening. I can go online, I can show you statistics, and show you who's streaming and who's hearing from those countries. We have very, very up-to-date software. We have the latest information available to us through the web that gives us the ratings and stuff of what we're doing out there. And we're touching people. People are listening anywhere from, 3 minutes to 15 minutes to even an hour at a time. So don't think this is just going out to deaf ears. I believe this is touching and reaching people. I believe that you can be a part of this. It's very simple if you want to host your show from where your location is, or if you want to come into our studio and you're in the Houston area where you can actually do the show. You don't have to be in Houston or have to be at our studio to actually have a show. Revenue Network will be able to get you to where you got to go. You can be one of the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts available and around this world. If you do have material, please contact us at 888-241-0768. You can hit my extension, which is extension 5, and that'll get straight to me. Or you can go ahead and write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We can send us your CDs through that way. And also, you can email me, therev@revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we've been talking about relationships, and we've been trying to get this message out there that we need to see where your relationship is progressing. Now, I told you I was going to give you a measuring tool, something that you can measure, something that you can look at your relationship and let us know if things were happening right or if things are happening wrong. Okay, we're going to do that. Turn your Bibles to a scripture that I think that's real relevant to any marriage or dating relationship. And if you take the scripture, you're going to see some awesome things happen. Ephesians 4:32. You know what? Friday's a great day. We get to spend it with our families. In the evenings watching TV or doing something with them. And Saturday's doing other things and relaxing with them. And then Sundays we're back. We're with our spiritual family at church. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. It's not a burden to go to church. It's not a burden to hear the Word of God preached. So I want you to think about that this Friday as we're getting ready to head into another weekend. Be a blessed day. Amen. Ephesians 4:32 reads, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiven one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." For Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, what I want you to know, that this scripture has what I call the four key points. And these four key points are this. What I tell you was the main thing today that we need to learn. About relationships. It was respect. Respect was one of the things that I wanted you to realize and to understand. That God wants you to respect one another. And the four key points are this. You need to agree. If you're in any relationship that you cannot agree, then things are wrong. I tell my family this when they come and talk to me and they complain that so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. I tell the people that I counsel the same thing. And that is this. You're going to have to yield. You're going to have to yield. When you yield, you make a way to succeed and to progress this relationship. If you are not yielding, then you're not succeeding. Yield, stop being so hard-headed, stop being so stubborn, and give in to common ground when you have to negotiate with those that are around you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiven one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I've seen this thing in this scripture, 4 points. It's about respect. Yes. It's about agreeing to agree and to yield. But it's also about caring. You need to care. You can't be a cold fish when it comes to relationships, my friends. You can't be a cold fish when it comes to having someone in your life. Compassion, care, love, affection. You have to have those things. If there is no affection in this relationship, then we have to sit down and get some help. You cannot have a relationship without having affection. You have to have affection to have this relationship progress. My friends, affection is a big thing. Care is a big thing. If you don't care for the person, you're not going to respect them. I mean, there's a common care that you want to make sure that they have a good life and things are good for them and you want to provide for them. That's a genuine care, but a care that you really care and love them. That you care and that you love them. Jesus loved us. Amen. Jesus cared about us. Still does. God loves us. God genuinely cared about us. God genuinely wanted to take care of us. God genuinely wanted to genuinely give you a way of escape from hell. He cared for you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall confess his name shall be saved. Think about it, my friends. Think about that. God cared for you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Third thing I see in this thing is that you need to be available. Third thing I see in this scripture, again, is that you need to be available. That you want to spend time with one another. Spending time with one another. It is so important that you make sure that you spend time with a person that you care about, that you agree with, and that you love. You need to spend time. That means making yourself available. That means not being so busy at the gym. It's good to be healthy. In fact, everybody needs to be walking around doing something. It's good to be healthy. Not spending all your time at work. Not spending all your time with your girlfriends or your guy friends. Now, there's time that you need to get alone for yourself, and that is fine. But there has to be a time where you meet together to communicate. That you meet together to hold each other. That you meet together to be with one another and just talk. You have to set up a day for that. Because if that day is not set up, you're going to lose, my friends. You're not going to go where you need to go. You're just going to be surviving when you can be progressing. I want you to realize that God has much for you and your husband and your wife. But you got to spend time together. You can't make other plans. Let me give you some points. Okay, we'll do one more key point to the scripture. Then we're going to go through some things that I think that really, really wants you to understand. The fourth key point is you need to want or desire to have that companionship. It's a difference between loving the person and wanting that person. It's a difference to want to have that companionship. You need to want, there has to be a real desire in you. You need to desire one another. That's different than having time for each other. A desire to hold that person, a desire to want to be with them. If that desire is gone, there's a lot we got to work on, my friends. There's a lot we have to work on, my friends. So, you see, there's the common, we can break down the scripture like this. Be kind to each other. Be compassionate to each other. Compassionate meaning no malice, meaning no anger, no strife. You don't want to hate. If you lose compassion, you begin to hate. If you lose compassion, you begin to regret. If you lose compassion, you begin to argue. Forgiving. Don't hold anything against that person. The past is the past. It is forgiven. Then the same thing that God told you is telling me, is telling everybody right now. God's mercy must be in you. For even as God has forgiven you. God's mercy must be in you. Just like the scripture says in Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So I'm telling you this. I'm telling you that God wants you to have compassion, to be with your spouse, to be committed to them. Shouldn't be having no secret meetings with anyone else. Your best friend should be your spouse. But you need to agree. These are things you can do. You need to agree. You need to care. You need to be available. And you need to desire. You need to desire to be with them. Physically. Yes, physically. There has to be a desire. So, if those things are bothering you, and what I'm bringing up, then you need to talk. You can email me, therev@davidyannisministries.com. That's where I do my counseling from, davidyannisministries.com. therev@davidyannisministries.com if you want to talk about that kind of stuff. And it'll be private. Nobody will know. Let me give you one more commercial about our ministry. And we'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Yannis, the host of Midwatch at the Rev and the station manager for revmedianetwork.com. Just want to take a few minutes to talk to the pastors out there and the ministers out there and the missionaries out there and the Bible teachers out there that have these books all stored up inside their brain, stored up on their material, stored up on their computer desk that have not been able to get published or have not been able to even get out to the public in any form. I have a publishing department. It is called Rev Media Publishing. It is a subsidiary of Revelation Ministries. It has been publishing a book since 2005. We've been able to create templates, been able to typeset, be able to get ISDNs. We've been able to get all the information that you need to get your book published. This is a great opportunity for those people that do have books that are ready to go. Go to revmediapublishing.com. Again, that is revmediapublishing.com to find out more information about our programs, more information about our packages. But let me tell you this. Many of us have sermons that have been preached, and we have written down. How about you take those sermons, you put them together, and you make yourself a book. And you get this book, and this book is available to millions of people through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, through your own website, through our website, and his network around the world. Wouldn't God want the Word of God that he gave you inspirationally to put that sermon together available again and again and again and again? Not only is it a tape or a CD, but it's in book format, and you can take it anywhere. You don't need no electronic devices, just a little bit of light, and you can read your book. Go to revmediapublishing.com. Again, that is revmediapublishing.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and we are trying to work on the sound. So if you hear a hollow effect, let us know. Remember, you can chat with me and on ChatTango. I'm looking at it right now. I don't see anyone chatting with me yet. You can just go in there, and it's going to be at the bottom of our ministry pages where most of our viewers are placed at, our players are placed at, or it will be on the ministry site, Rev Media Network. It'll be on the player that you're actually listening to towards the bottom. Let me Again, give you our address. It's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. If you want to write us, you can. If you want to help us with some donations as well, any gift is available. Any gift is not too small for us. We accept anything. God bless you. No gift is too small to help keep this ministry running forward and also to help bless the things that we're trying to get done. Amen. Well, let me read you an article. I thought this was an interesting article, and we're going to go back to all the talking about relationships and stuff. We got about 15 minutes left on our show, so let's go ahead and get that going here. This article was interesting. I brought it up the other day. I think it was 2 days ago on a couple of days shows. I didn't bring up this article, but I brought up the point that we have all given to someone eventually out there. I believe it was yesterday that we've given to homeless people. I think you see them in the corner and stuff, and you try to ignore them and stuff. And we've always given funds or given a dollar or 50 cents or whatever you had in your ashtray or whatever. You throw it over there into the person's cup or can or boots or whatever. Well, this is on Associated Press. I believe Associated Press. Let me give you the correct. Oh, no, it's on the Christian Post. ChristianPost.com. It talks about a traveling man taps social media to bring home stories of nations of the nation's invisible people. He wants to bring awareness about the invisible people out there. Invisible people, not invisible people driving cars, trust me. No, invisible people being homeless people. It says, a man who was once part of America's homeless population is touring the nation to educate and foster understanding among today's Americans in the hopes of sparking change. I hate the term awareness, says Mark Harvath, the man behind the website Invisible People TV. We are aware of homelessness, but we choose to ignore it. I simply want to help the ignorance be replaced by understanding and knowledge. 14 years ago, Harvath lived on the streets of Hollywood, the result of drugs, bad decisions, and stress. Though he eventually got off the streets, he found himself homeless a second time due to the economy. He plans to go around and videotape and do a road trip around the U.S. Harvath kicked off his road trip USA last Wednesday with a number of sponsors, including Ford, Haynes, Union Rescue Mission, and the Dream Center. He's planning to, throughout the next 3 months, Harvath will visit over 25 cities and document his travels on his video vlog, as well as Vimeo, YouTube, and the social media networks like Twitter and Facebook. And this is what he's planning to do. He's planning to use $45, a laptop, a camera, and Facebook and Twitter to basically, and social media to basically get out a story and a journal of all the homeless and what's going on and get their interviews. That's amazing. That is amazing. You think about it. Many of us see them all the time. We avoid them. I remember when I was working for a bank back, oh my gosh, it had to be when my son was barely born, about 97, I think. I was working for, I believe, Bank One at the time, and I came out of this bank, and I went to go have lunch and stuff at the Underground Mall, or at the mall downtown, in downtown Houston. And instead of taking the underground passageways back to our bank, which it wasn't too far, I decided, let's go up topside. We can knock out three streets real quick and get to the bank real quick. We're running behind, so it's quicker to go on the top to get to where you have to go sometimes. So we went up to the street level and went across. We're coming straight out of the mall, and I'm walking, and I see this guy standing there. And my friend, that he didn't even know I was really a minister or anything. He just seen this guy coming up to us, and he turned, and he walked off. He kept walking. And I looked at him, and I had like a few bucks in my pocket, and I stopped, and when I looked at him, I knew this guy, and this article hit me because it reminds me of Thomas, my friend, and I looked at him, he looked at me, and he knew me, but he didn't know from where, and I looked at him, and I go, Thomas, and my friend's jaw just dropped. That I knew a homeless guy. And the thing is, I knew this guy from the streets. I used to go out in the middle of downtown Houston, and I used to t- take food out there and minister to the homeless. When I was just out of the military, just serving God, taking food out there and helping them and trying to find my direction in my ministry, I would just go out there and hang out with the homeless people. I would eat at their soup kitchens with them, and I would talk to them and talk to them about God. I would preach to them certain times of the day, and a whole group of people would get there. But the thing was, it was amazing that I ran into him. I looked at him, and I said, Thomas, if you want to get off the streets, I'm going to help you. Do you remember me? And he goes, hey, Rev, it's the Rev. I go, yes, it's the Rev. And I go, man, I've missed you. And I gave him a hug, and I just told him, I love you, man. And I gave him like 10 bucks that I had in my pocket and my business card. It was my bank business card. But I said, look, that has my phone number at the bank. Call me. I will get you off the streets. And I did. And within a week, we got him off the streets into a center. And I haven't contacted him or seen him since. But, you know, prayingly, he's doing well. But I'm telling you, you will always tend to ignore the homeless people. You will. You know what? That's amazing. Because it ties in with our scripture. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. For even as God so loved you. Let's read that again. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I'm telling you, my friends, that our compassion needs to grow. Our compassion needs to grow. Our compassion for one another needs to grow. So good luck, and we pray for this guy. We pray for this guy. His name is Mark Horvath. Father, we pray for Mark. Father, as he goes out into the world to do these things, to monitor and to bring back report about the homeless, God, that you will bring awareness to those that have avoided and are not concentrating on helping homeless or just don't even care, Father, that you will give them and touch them, and he will grab the support that he needs to help the gentleman that he runs into. In Jesus' name, we pray good things for him and better coverage as well as far as the media. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've been listening to David Yannis, and we're here on Midwatch with the Rev. I am the station manager for Rev Media Network, and I am looking for more people to get on the air with us. So if you know of some people that want to get on the air, let them know we're here. Let them know. They can email me at david@revmedianetwork.com. Anyway, you hear all these addresses that we have. I'm telling you, we have about 9 to 10 websites. We have, and 3 of those websites are archives of our shows. And we also have all these email addresses because we're tied up into all these different email accounts that we usually able to look through all of them and get information and get back with everybody. But everything's strategically put out there to help those that are out there. So go to our websites. You can just go to revministries.com or Rev Media Network. Any of those websites will actually have all the information for the other websites. And you can just follow the links. Just follow the links. And you can find anything that you need. Now, I want to tell you this. The other thing. These are signs of some of the things. I promised you this. I'm going to give it to you right now. These are other things you can measure with. I gave you the 4 things, which was needing to agree, needing to care, needing to be available, and needing to desire, to want. To have that compassion for you, or that passion for you. It really should be passion. It should be passion. Okay? Next thing is this. We're coming close to our time. We got about 7 minutes to go. So I want to try and get this out to you. Your relationship with God takes a nosedive. You ever been around Christians where your relationships with God, with the relationships with God, have taken a nosedive? Well, you know they're not in a great relationship, or that the relationship is not growing where it needs to grow. And they were on fire before they got married, and all of a sudden they're just right there. A lot of people run into that. Well, that's a good sign. That's a real good sign that you're not walking in unity together, is when one is real strong and the other one is weak and nothing's happening. So what I want to make awareness of is that if your relationship's taking a nosedive, then that should be the first sign, the very first sign, that you got to do something. Don't let it go that far. You know about your prayer time. You know about your time about reading the Word of God. You know about your service times. So I want you to realize that. That is one of the ways, another thing to measure your relationship through. Other thing is our focus is off of God and it's always on us. Now that's a good thing to write down, that your focus is not on you, not on God, but is on you. If you get together with your friends and your normal Bible study or normal type of thing you hang out with, and you're just going to go eat, and they're all godly people and they want to talk about God, and all you want to do is talk about the problems that you're having, or you just feel like you need to talk about them, then there's an issue right there that shows you that you're not progressing. There's an issue right there that shows you that things aren't really where they need to be with each other. Third thing, hearing God has become difficult. Hearing God in your heart has become difficult. How many of us can say, oh man, I was on fire with God, I could hear God all the time. But then now that you are married or in a dating relationship, you can't hear God anymore. You can't hear God anymore. That right there is a sign that something's wrong. That right there is a sign that something needs to be changed. You need to refocus, readjust. It's not too late. I'm not saying it's too late. If you're in a marriage and your relationship with God has taken a nosedive, your focus on God has taken a nose, is not there no more, you're not hearing God, then we have to talk. You need to just start sitting with your husband and sitting with your wife and saying, look, there's no shame in my game. Come on. I have to get this fixed. Before I can succeed with God, we have to succeed as well. Where is our problem? Get into marriage counseling. Get some help. Fourth thing's going to hurt. Here goes. Finding other relationships to satisfy your affectionate needs. That one deserves the bell. Finding out relationships, outside relationships, outside, that means here's your husband or here's your wife, and you're finding someone else to have your communication time with you, and you may not even be doing anything wrong. You're not even kissing them or anything, but you're finding someone else to give your affection to or to get affection from. It is wrong. It is wrong. So, you know that your relationship isn't progressing when you have to have another guy friend around all the time, or a girlfriend around all the time, or girlfriend email or girlfriend tweeter you, or on someone else's Facebook just to get information, just to get affection and attention. Not good. Not good. That's happening. We need to get that fixed. If that's happening, things need to change now. Now, last thing, number five, showing up to events without the other. Or planning things without each other. No secret vacations here, my friends. No secret vacations. It's interesting when someone comes to a family event or a social event and the other one's not there. Maybe they had to work. Again. Who knows? But all I know is this, my friends. If these things are happening, if you're planning things, conniving or manipulating things so you can be alone to go do something else, then you got problems. Do not plan outside of what you're supposed to have right now. God is awesome. God wants to do good things for you. But this stuff, what I'm talking about, is stuff that you have allowed yourself to get into. If any of this is you, and we're not calling out names, and I don't see anyone talking about it on my Shatango site. So, what that's telling me is this. It's reaching you. This is stuff that you scream, ouch. So again, when you if your relationship's taking a nosedive, if your focus is off of God and always on your relationship and your spouse or your dating partner, or if your heart is not hearing God like it usually does and you can't hear him however he talks to you, or if you're finding other people for relationships, or if you're showing up to events without them or planning things without them to go do things. Now, I'm not talking about just going to a baseball game or something like that, but I'm talking about events that you're expected to be there. So, these are the things that I think each of us need to realize that's going to keep us from growing in our relationships. My friends, we're almost out of time. And there goes the whistle. We are out of time, my friends. I want to thank you for listening to Midwatch with the Rev. I want to thank you for taking the time to actually sit down wherever you're at and hear our program. I ask everyone out there to consider giving to our ministry. You can do that by hitting any of our donation buttons on any of our ministries. It all goes to Revelation Ministries, which helps bring you this broadcast through Rev Media Network. Again, I want to thank each of y'all for tuning in. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. My email address, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. God bless you, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in.